like to dream. Got a house in a small-minded street in a small-minded town. It ain't nothing but a place to lay my head down. Just put me behind the wheel, way out on the road. Just put me behind the wheel. It's the only place I know that I can go.
That's the Red Dirt Skinners with Behind the Wheel. It's the title track from their latest album. It's their fourth studio album, their fifth album overall. They hail from Sussex in England. They are Sarah Skinner and Rob Skinner. They're a duo. They call themselves the Red Dirt Skinners because they have this link to Red Dirt music that I think comes from Oklahoma and Texas. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. And they have an incredible sound, and it's great to have them in the studio. How are you guys doing today?
We're happy. We're always happy when we're here in Canada.
Well, you're back on tour. I thought it was good to play the title track from the new album because it is Behind the Wheel. And I think you're over here for about 5 weeks. Is
that
right?
That's right. Yeah. 5 weeks.
Yeah. And it's your second trip.
It's our second tour. We were here at Christmas just on holiday as well. We've got family in Peterborough.
Tell us a little bit about how you got together, because you have this wonderful, I was going to say it's a genre non-specific sound. It's very hard to place, certainly country roots, absolutely, but you'll dip into all sorts of different genres on the way. A little bit of klezmer gets thrown in there as well. So tell us a little bit about how this sound developed.
When we first put the duo together, we were still playing in a four-piece blues band, and this was a kind of a little bit of a money spinner on the side, so we could play local bars and things and play, Bryan Adams songs and the usual pop, the expected songs, if you know what I mean. And a chance encounter with quite a major celebrity who lives near our home in Sussex led us to do a lot more vocal harmony together. Which we did occasionally on some of the covers we were playing, and that encouraged us into writing our own stuff, and certainly a little foray into sort of country music and old-style Americana music, and we started writing our own songs. The name Red Dirt Skinners, our name is Skinner, obviously, that's pretty easy, but Red Dirt music, like you mentioned, out of Oklahoma, Texas kind of area, it's been described as a mix of country, blues, folk, Americana, and all the things that we've been told that we are. Recently, we've heard it described as hard to describe. Well, one of the phrases that we get often after a show is we get described as refreshingly different. That phrase seems to come up all the time. We don't stick to a genre. We don't write with any genre in mind at all. A song comes out, and once it's done, we go, OK, well, that song could possibly be called a country song, I don't know. But we don't write with that genre in mind. We just write songs, and we try and make them interesting, and we try and have fun with them.
Now, the interesting thing is the fact that, as I mentioned at the start, there's only two of you. Rob, you're playing guitar and dobro, but Sarah, you play soprano sax?
I do, yeah. I started out on clarinet when I was about six. I used to sit it on my feet, so it's been quite a while that I've been playing. The soprano, everyone always says, oh, that's a bit unusual. I didn't expect that sound in the style of music that you're doing. But to be honest, it's the instrument that I play. I can't play a fiddle, which would probably suit better. So the soprano is just, to me, it's not unusual that it's there, because that's what I play best. So it just sort of fitted in with what we do. And everyone says, oh, that's really, really different. But to me, I've always played a wind instrument, and therefore it's not unusual for me.
And I think you started out in were you in a Madness tribute band at the start?
We've got to remove that from the Wikipedia page, haven't we?
We met in a Madness tribute band. Madness doesn't really transfer across the pond so well, so a lot of people won't have heard of them, but they're a very, very British band. And I played the tenor sax in the band, Rob played the guitar, and that's how we met. And we got to the point where we were playing the same song in exactly the same way, night after night, to crowds of people that love that style of music. But we got bored and we wanted to play our own stuff, and we just started putting our own thing together, and this is what's happened from that.
And I think you would play a lot of covers at the start.
We did, yeah. We started out just doing covers, and then our first album's got only two originals on it, and we just slowly crept them in so that now Behind the Wheel is all original music.
Did you realise that when you got together, though, that you could make music really well, just the two of you, without the need to bring other people and instruments into the band?
Well, we both play a lot of instruments. I mean, Rob plays Rob seems to be able to play anything.
I'm not good at anything. I'm reasonable at a lot of things rather than being good at anything.
But we just sort of threw songs together. And like we say at the beginning, we just played covers. And we used to take it in turns to be the lead vocalist. And eventually it got to the point where we were doing lots and lots more harmonies. And I think the album we've just put out is almost exclusively harmony all the way through, and it suits us.
At no point do we ever believe we'll ever get expert status at it. We enjoy the development. We enjoy coming home from a show or listening to a new album and going, right, okay, that was fine. How can we make this better next time? And that's good fun, isn't it? So when we're learning more about how to harmonise, how to be a backing singer to the other, how each of us can make it work that way, how to produce it onto an album as far as sort of stereo and that kind of thing and make it an interesting sound. So we're always developing our sound. So when we listen to our first album now, we listen back, remembering how proud we were of it, now thinking, actually, the new one really is quite a development on from here. Yeah, so we're enjoying the progress, if you see what I mean.
Are you recording the albums yourself? I'm curious as to...
Yeah, we've got our own studio.
And you got your own studio and you produce everything yourself?
Yeah, the only part of our business that isn't done by the two of us is the actual physical manufacture of the CDs. We don't have the facility to do that. But all the artwork, Sarah does all the artwork, I do all the production and mastering and that kind of thing. And again, that's a skill that we've both just been developing based on, we put an album out and then we listen to the critics and whatever they say, we try and fix that next time.
Because the critics seem to love you. You've received, what, Blues and Country Awards in
the
UK?
Yeah, we won at the British Blues Awards a couple of years ago, and we were finalists at the British Country Awards 3 years ago, I think it was. Yeah, like I say, they can't pigeonhole us, so...
One of the things that surprised me, because I didn't think that you were necessarily going to be a cottage industry. I thought, wow, these people look really organised. You know, you have a lot of energy behind you. I thought, well, I would imagine that you probably had a label behind you and, you know, that you were moving, forward in that direction.
No, it's just us.
Just is the easiest way. We've worked with different people so much in this band and in various bands. I mean, we've both been doing it for 20, 30 odd years, you know. And now that we're doing it just the two of us, we've got complete control of our career and our income and everything. And there's, if anything goes wrong, there's absolutely no one to blame but ourselves. So we can learn from that without having to try and, oh, what did you do? What did you do? And it's always, well, it was us. If it went wrong, it was us.
Let's take a break with another song from the album. The song you've selected is Thoughts of the Past. Do you want to tell us about that song?
I'd like, yeah, can I?
Yeah, go for this, it.
The album's called Behind the Wheel. It's a collection of songs about people we've either met on tour, hence Behind the Wheel, or at our local bar, which is called The Wheel. Right. So this is a lady who goes to our local bar, and she is the most adorable drunk you could possibly wish to meet. She comes into the bar about lunchtime, and she has a glass of Chardonnay. And she sits by the bar on her own. She's probably about 55, 60 maybe. Hard to age her, I think. She has long sort of scraggly grey hair and lots of pink lipstick. Mm. And she has a glass of Chardonnay and a sandwich and she goes home. And about 2 or 3 hours later, she comes back to the bar, seemingly with no memory that she's already been there that day. And she says hello to all the same people. And she sits there with her glass of Chardonnay. And this happens a few times every day. And eventually she gets back about 10:30, just before the bar closes. And she's obviously been drinking at home all day. And she comes in and she goes, hello, like this. And it's all flamboyant. And everyone has to pretend that they haven't already seen her today. And she has a glass of Chardonnay. And she starts leaning on people and kissing them. And she's just the most wonderful person. But she's got this sadness about her. Like she's had a really cool life. And it's kind of fading now. And it's like there's something about her. But she's the most wonderful person. And that's where the song came. That's how the song came about.
Let's play that just now. This is the Red Dirt Skinners from their new album. It's entitled Behind the Wheel. And this is Thoughts of the Past. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
I'm pretty sure she was beautiful. I'm pretty sure that she knows. She said she don't mind, but I'm pretty sure that's the lie. Once was a girl with long golden hair. Now it hangs silver and gray. Maybe someday there's an answer she prays. Does it lie in her bottle of wine?
That's the Red Dirt Skinners with Thoughts of the Past on Folk Roots Radio today. They're our special guest in the studio. They actually joined us in the studio on tour in Canada. They've got some dates in Ontario. They're heading into Quebec. And they're an amazing, amazing live band. We'll be talking about the live band a little later in this interview. But I thought at this point, let's talk about how you got into music.
All right. So how did I get started? Well, my grandmother was a piano teacher. So music has always been in my family, in my life. My dad was a bass player in the 60s in a band. And that's how he met my mother. So playing piano from, I guess, really for as long as I've been walking, I've been playing piano, you know, badly. But I, you know. I picked up a guitar when I was 12 and never put it down. It's always been what I wanted to do. When I was 16 and I left school and I said, well, I'm going to be a musician, the attitude was, oh, isn't that cute? You know, well, you'll need a job. And so I listened and I got a job. And 15 years later, I said, no, I was right the first time. I'm going to be a musician. So when I was 30, I quit work and this is what I do now.
And that's a, so you've just full time musician these days.
Mm-hmm, that's all we do. I've been doing it now for, when did I quit? 2010 I quit, so 6 years since I had a job. And you, what, forever?
Well, I quit probably about 17 years ago. In fact, almost to the day. Yeah, I quit and I went part time first. But yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I took out the clarinet when I was 6, and the only reason I was given a clarinet rather than the violin, which most people learn in primary school, is because my brother had learnt the violin. He's older than me. And basically, it's such a horrible noise when you're first learning that my parents said, I am not going through that again. And I was given a clarinet. And there was no choice about it. And I played the clarinet for a while. I went through all the classical grades. And I kept saying, I really want a saxophone. It's just way cooler. The clarinet's not cool enough. I really want a saxophone. And I kept on and on and on. And eventually I took up the saxophone. And I do play all of them, but the soprano is the one that, well, frankly, it's lightest. It hurts my neck the least. and it suits what we do. So we've come from very different backgrounds. I've got a sort of jazz classical kind of background. And Rob's favourite band is Iron Maiden. So, which is
I'm a heavy music fan.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's probably why we've got such an unusual style. It's because we've just thrown all this stuff in together and we've seen what works. So, yeah, that's why we have no genre.
I did want to talk a little bit about the whole issue of making music a career, because I interview an awful lot of people on this show. And it's a struggle sometimes to be successful as a musician and to be able to say, yeah, this is what I do. There's a lot of people out there who would love to make music full-time, but they feel that they have to keep some form of, I don't like to say day job, because music is still the day job, but something to try, yeah, and bring extra
something
money
reliable.
In.
Yeah. Well, it took a while. I mean, you know, we did it part-time for a long time. When I first took the play, I decided, I was sitting at my desk and I thought, I'm not doing this forever. And I just said to my boss, I'm going to leave in a month and I'm going to be a musician. And they kind of laughed, you know. And it was unreliable. It was unreliable for a while. But we had built up the business quite a lot before that. And one of the most important things, like running any business, is you've got to remember that it's a business. You know, yes, it's your hobby as well. But if you're running a business, it's going to be successful. You can see what went wrong. And it's important at the end of every show to think, right, if this didn't go well, what went wrong? How can we improve it? And yeah, as long as you're actively remembering that it's a business, then it's always going to work. But the hardest part, I think, is that you're always going to have people around you that are just waiting for you to fail so they can be right and say, yeah, see, I told you, you should have got a proper job. And that term proper job winds us up so much, because how dare you say that your job is a proper job and mine isn't a proper job?
So what advice do you have for people starting out and wondering whether they should make it a career?
Go for it. Seriously, just work every hour that you're awake at just pestering people for gigs. And when you first start out, you've really got to take absolutely any gig that you can. I have to say, it's easy for us because we're a husband and wife. There's no discussing with 6 other people in the band whether it's okay to take a booking. If a booking comes in, we decide between the 2 of us, and within minutes we've gone back and we've said yes or no. When we first started out, yeah, it was pretty tricky. We took a lot of gigs. We took absolutely anything we could. And there were some gigs that were absolutely soul destroying. But as we've progressed and we've got better and better press, we're getting better gigs, and it's starting to get to the point where it's easier and people have heard of us, so they're buying our albums. But yeah, if it's what you want to do, you can't just say, I want to be a musician, and then sit in your bedroom and play your guitar. You've really got to work very, very hard.
Yeah, we probably spend 5% of our time actually playing music.
I mean, there's this stereotype of the lazy musician. There's no such thing. A successful musician works their socks off. And if that's what you want out of your life, then just go for it.
And it can be done. And don't let people tell you it can't.
Let's play another song from the album. How about we play Eleanor Joan?
Yeah, sounds good. That is inspired by the youngest member of my family. She was born January 2015, my little niece. Her name's Eleanor Joan. And my sister and her husband trying for a long time to have a baby. So she's a real blessing on my little family. And my sister said, you know, would you write her a lullaby? You know, and I thought, yes, we will. And so this is the song, Eleanor Joan.
This is the Red Dirt Skinners with Eleanor Joan from their new album. It's entitled Behind the Wheel. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Darling, I will keep you safe. Eleanor Joan, never alone, mean the world to me. Eleanor Joan, I love you so, it's time to go to sleep. Sleep, my precious darling, I will keep you safe. Eleanor Joan, wherever you roam, you'll be number one. Eleanor Joan, always come home when the day is done. Precious darling, I will keep you safe. I wanna be who you wanna see, be all that you need. Eleanor Joan,
that's the Red Dirt Skinners with Eleanor Joan on Folk Roots Radio today. There are special guests in the studio. They've just released their new album. It's entitled Behind the Wheel. They're on tour in Canada and into Quebec. It's great to have them joining us. What I'd like to do at this point in the interview is talk a little bit about songwriting. Do you find songwriting pretty easy?
I don't know how it works. I wake up in the middle of the night and I have an idea. And the whole song is playing in my head like a full Jules Holland orchestra. And if I don't write it down in the morning, it has completely gone. I can't remember what the lyrics were. I can't remember how the tune went. So I have a pen and paper by the side of the bed, which I just wake up. And if I know that if all I do is write down a couple of lyrics and a vague idea of how the song's going to go, the following day I can work on it. And the reason I have a pen and paper by the side of the bed is because, well, basically, a couple of years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night to write a song. And I have quite a lot of trouble going from darkness to really bright light. So rather than put the light on, I struggled down the stairs and I picked up what I thought was a pen and I wrote on what I thought was a piece of paper. And when I got up the next morning, across my lovely wooden desk with a Sharpie was written the lyrics to the first song on our second album, just scrawled very messily in bright orange Sharpie across my desk. And now I have been told I have
still
a pen.
There to this day.
I have a pen and paper by the side of the bed just in case this inspiration comes to me in the middle of the night again.
I like to think that one day that desk may be worth a lot more money because of it.
Yeah. But yeah, I start the song and Rob kind of comes along and he listens to it and he does what I call tidying it. I'll write it. I'm no guitarist by any stretch of the imagination. My chord knowledge is pretty basic on the guitar. So I will write something and Rob will come along and tidy it up and he'll change some of the words and he'll embellish the chords and he'll make it a bit more interesting. So it's a good partnership in that respect.
And you find working together is pretty easy?
Yeah, I think we've developed it, haven't we? We used to joke that as a husband and wife team, people often ask us, how do you cope? You know, like, I could never work with my husband all day, you know, all this sort of thing. And the truth is, we very rarely actually work together. We have our specific jobs in the band. If when it comes to organising tours and that kind of thing, Sarah just does that completely. And in that respect, I will work for her. If she has a job that I can do, I will do that as an employee of hers. When it comes to gig day or going on tour, then I'm in charge. And if it gets to a venue, I set the gear up, I do all the sound checking. And then if I need her to run cables or put cables away or whatever, or bring stuff in from the van, then she kind of works for me in that sense. So we know who's in charge of what thing. Therefore, we don't argue. The only time we actually used to argue, and I say used to because we've sorted this out now, was when we were writing, because we would often disagree about that. But now again, Sarah knows that her job is to come up with the basic idea of a song, because I can't write the beginning of a song for it, never. I'm not that creative. I can't do it. I can hear something that Sarah's created and say what I did and what I didn't like about it, and then I can change it. And therefore, now we've developed that part of our business, and it means that now we don't argue about anything, do we?
I've always written songs on my own until Rob came along. So I would write a song, and as far as I was concerned, once it was written, it was done. So I'd be quite precious about it. So when we started writing together, he'd say, oh, no, I want to change that chord or that word or something like that. And I'd be like, no, it's done. It's finished. But now, particularly on this album, Rob's really got much more involved. And I've presented him with some vague idea of, I don't know how he's managed to see through the mess. Because I will just present something and go, well, here's a vague idea of how it goes. And, you know, and he's just sort of come along and made it sparkle.
What about influences? You're called the Red Dirt Skinners. Obviously, you have, I would say, a love for Americana. We've got that sort of little bit of, you know, Texas roots in there. Tell me a little bit about the people that inspire you as musicians, other than Iron Maiden.
Well, I think it's come from all over the place. I mean, for me, as a sax player, somebody you may not have even heard of, Zoot Sims, who was a great jazz player, right round to the sax player from Supertramp.
John Anthony Halliwell.
Hey! Vocally, personally, I really like singers like Janis Joplin, Etta James, somebody with a bit more power. But together, we've stumbled across all sorts of Americana and just kind of thrown in the middle. Dave Rawlings was somebody that we sort of listened to and went, oh, I really, really like that. And sort of, we've got such unusual backgrounds that to stumble across Americana right in the middle is, I don't know how it happened, really.
No, I guess influence-wise, I mean, I mentioned that I have this love for rock and heavy metal. Never ever any of our songs ever going to be classed as heavy metal, but there's definitely kind of structural and production influences in there that if you really listened from a production point of view to some Iron Maiden, for example, you might recognise little bits in our music. I mean, I think we're going to hear later on a song called Daybreak, and it closes with a 3-minute sax solo. And when I was writing, I didn't write the solo, obviously, but the backing part, I think a Maiden fan would probably hear, oh, I wonder if that guy likes Maiden. Because it's definitely an influence in there, the way it kind of drives. So it's not like an overdriven guitar or anything like that, nothing shouty. But Yeah, it's definitely there, I think. And it's I'm always looking for new ideas. I listen very deeply to kind of that kind of music, and I think, what are they doing with the chords there? How are they doing those harmonies? What are the rhythms doing there? And production wise, sometimes I'll listen to it with a pair of headphones on and think, oh, that's interesting. One guitar's in the left ear and one's in the right. I wonder if I can do that on mine. Or there's a little sound going off in the distance, you know, and that kind of thing. And yeah, we really listen to a lot of stuff. And production wise, this one's a big step up, I think, isn't it?
Mm. It's interesting with Supertramp coming up in the start of the conversation, because they were always a band that I felt were able to do some really interesting things.
Yeah, huge
in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I don't know if you know Susie Vinnick.
I know of her, yeah.
Well, she is a big fan of Supertramp too.
Wow. And
we had an interview a while ago where we actually had to stop the interview and talk about Supertramp for 10 minutes before we could actually get back to it. But it's interesting when you talk about bands that find production really important, because I think it does really help the immediacy of the sound. And that was what really struck me when I first started listening to your music, was there's a wonderful immediacy to it that, you know, when you pick it up, and from point of view of somebody who wants to find a track to play, or perhaps, you know, you're looking to program some music for a festival or something like that, you want to really be able to pick up something, say, oh, wow, yeah, I love what these people do. And then, you know, decide that you want to explore them a lot more. Let's play the track you mentioned, Daybreak. It's an interesting track because it's a 7-minute song, but it also has a pretty extensive sax solo in it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Lung shredding, I think, was the way it was described.
It's an interesting one because, it's a song that I presented to Rob as like a 3-minute song about a wonderful guy that we met when we were in Ottawa last June. We were having a bad day and he really, really brought us up, and he was absolutely lovely. His name was Doug. We stayed with him for a few days, and he's building a cabin in his, well, he's got about 20 acres and he's building this cabin on his land. And we were joking, you know, when it's finished, can we move in? And, you know, we're having a great laugh. And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem, cool. So he's just absolutely wonderful. And we've written this song about him. And I presented it to Rob, and it was about a 3-minute song. And he said, well, it's an album closer. It needs to be longer than that. And then it merged into this great big long song with a huge great sax solo at the end of it, which we do play live. And we usually play it at the end of a show because I have nothing. Once that's finished, I've got nothing. I have to sit down on the floor for a couple of minutes and say, just be patient with me. But it's called Daybreak, and it's all about our last trip to Canada.
Let's play that just now. This is the Red Dirt Skinners with Daybreak from their new album, Behind the Wheel. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
On the corner, up a long dusty drive. It was 4 in the morning, it was just getting light. Up late and you brought me tea. You said, why don't you head down the road to the Greystone Grill for a cup of coffee with me. Drove me around and you showed me the bay, and I took a picture that I hung on the wall to remind me of you, and it makes me smile every day.
front porch and you taught me how to scare the bears away. And after the show we talked into the night till it was just getting light. Is the cabin ready? I don't want to wait another day. So Doug, are they all as good as you? What's it like in Constance Bay? I could sit and listen to your stories till late in the night. So let's sit here and talk until it's just getting
the Red Dirt Skinners with Daybreak on Folk Roots Radio today. There are special guests. We're having an extended discussion about their new album. It's entitled Behind the Wheel. They're in the studio and it's great to have them with us. What I'd like to do is to talk a little bit about the live experience, because You've been, I think, made four studio albums. You actually also have a live album out there, the Live at the Blue Lamp in Aberdeen.
That's right, yeah. That was recorded in 2014.
Yeah, July 2014, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the live experience. Is it something you're really comfortable with?
Playing live? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with that album, we after we finished Soundcheck, we always use our own sound system whenever we tour in the UK and Europe, and we have a facility on our system that it will just record digitally. It will record whatever it's putting out to the speakers. And we've done the sound check and it was starting to sound really good. And I thought, well, let's just record this one just for fun. And when we got home, we listened to it back and thought, actually, it doesn't sound too bad. You know, it actually sounds pretty good. And people had been saying for a while that, you know, the studio albums didn't do the live show its justice, you know, and all this sort of thing. So I thought, okay, well, let's put out a live album. And at first we thought we would put it out, you know, we'd have like 20 copies made and we'd give some to our friends. It just, people really liked it, didn't they? And the reviews started coming in from the magazines and we sort of put it out as a full professional release. But it was a lot of fun making it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's the kind of album, because of the studio album, you know, if you go for a note, you sing a note and it didn't quite work, then you have another go and you paste it in, you know, and you make sure everything's just right. But on this album, you know, every time I went for the wrong chord or every time I couldn't remember the next line or if I stopped in the middle to cough or something, it's all on there. You know, it really is. It's exactly what happened that night in Aberdeen.
There's a lot of hilarity between us and the audience.
Lots of giggling.
As well. And just lots of silliness. And you get a feel for what we're like on stage. And I love being on stage. I always have a joke. People say, you know, what about stage fright? And I always say the same thing. To me, stage fright is being off stage. I don't like being off stage. I love the experience of being on stage, and I don't get scared about it. Both of us, we've never suffered with stage fright. I mean, we've both been on stage since we were tiny, and it's just somewhere we're really, really comfortable.
Yeah, it's true. We definitely enjoy playing live, don't we? And when there's been a little gap between tours, we always get a little bit antsy, and we're like, well, you know, let's just set the gear up at home and just play for ourselves, you know, just have a little run through, just to make sure we can still remember the lyrics for everything.
You must find touring over here a lot different from the UK. One of the things I love about the UK music scene is the fact that it's so easy to get to different places.
That's true.
To see people. And you know, for such a relatively small island compared to obviously the size of Canada.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, really possible to be able to see a huge amount of different music. Whereas over here, because of the distances are so much harder, can do an Ontario Quebec tour. But if you want to tour out west, then that's a whole different ballgame.
It's
typically
true. I mean, the only issue with that, of course, is that any night of the week, there is always a huge amount of opportunity, unless you go up to the Scottish Highlands, where if you're playing a gig, that's what's happening that night. If we play in a city, there's, you know, 10 other bands playing that night. There's always a lot of competition for the good venues. It's harder in a way, although obviously everywhere is much, much closer. It's harder in a way to put a tour together of the UK than it is to put a tour together over here. Maybe it's because we're different, we're from a long way away, but I've always found both times I've tried to get us a tour over here, it's been way easier and a quicker response from venues than in the UK.
You've obviously had some wonderful critical reviews of your music in the UK. We mentioned the fact that you've been nominated for Country Award. I think you picked up at least one of Blues Award. Mm-hmm. The reception.
She did. I didn't.
Oh, that was for an instrumentalist.
It was, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't get nominated for anything.
No. Do you find that your fan base really gets excited for the type of music you play?
Yeah, we've picked up some real what you would call, I guess, super fans, who buy every album, who buy every T-shirt, who come to every show they possibly can, and it's a wonderful feeling. I think our first Canada tour, it got off to the most amazing start. The first show we did, we stood in front of the audience and I said, we're going to do such and such a song from such and such an album, one of our own original songs. And somebody in the front row, I could audibly hear them say, oh, I love that one. And I thought, I'm 3,500 miles from home and somebody knows my music, something I wrote. And it's just, it was amazing. And it set us up for the whole tour.
Yeah, it did. It was an exciting experience for someone that we didn't know to know our music, yeah. You know, this far away.
Yeah. What does the future hold? Obviously, you've got 4 studio albums out there now. You've already recorded a first live album. What are the plans long term? Anything different? Obviously, in the short term, you're going to be out there, you know, promoting the new album, which, of course, is Behind the Wheel. What else do you want to try and achieve?
Well, this album's been a long time in the making. We decided we weren't going to put it out till it was ready. And it's taken, well, we didn't put an album out last year. So it's taken a fair while to put this together. So at the moment, this is all we can think about. But long term, in all honesty, if we can live in Canada, then that's what we want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, very long term, we're aware of the fact that, you know, our fingers might stop moving at some point, or, you know, we may need to find an alternative source of income. But one of the things we've talked about is, because we were discouraged from pursuing a career in music, we want to break that chain and we want to do the opposite for people. If we can set up like I say, we have our own home studio in England, and if we can move here to Canada, then we're going to set up a studio and we want to coach up and coming artists, young bands, teenagers, you know, and just show them how it's done, make it happen for them. And if we can do that, then we'd be very happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, which is red.skinners.com, or they can do the whole social media thing. We're on Facebook and Twitter. It's just Red Dirt Skinners.
Well, look, it's been great having you join us in the studio today. We're going to play one more track from the album. Which one are we going to play?
You're going to play Home Sweet Home, which is it's a title track from the second album. Yeah, the second album is called Home Sweet Home. So this is the song about that album. I'll tell you a little bit about the second album. We had a terrible experience one weekend in 2012. We had a very bad gig, and when we got home, our house had been robbed. And so we wrote a whole album. We suddenly realized that the world was against us, and we couldn't take it. And we turned it around. We wrote some songs about how it made us feel and the experience and everything. And that album sold so well that we actually managed to get the deposit together to buy our own house. We were renting the old place. So we kind of turned it around. So this track you're going to play now, Home Sweet Home, is the oddest theme for a song. We're actually thanking whoever it was that robbed our house, because it gave us the inspiration to soar forward with our career. And we were talking production wise. I want to tell you a little thing that I did on this album, on this song that I'm so proud of. we had a song. There's a band called The Civil Wars, which I'm sure your listeners will know. And one of their songs, I can't actually remember the title of the song, but in the distance you can hear a snare drum come in. And if you know, unless you actually listen for it, it's hard to hear it. It kind of just fills up the song, and the song builds and builds and builds towards the end. And I tried to do something on this track. So as the sax solo comes in, you should be able to hear, just slightly in the left-hand side, a snare drum coming in like that. And what we did, we put two microphones across the room, and I literally stood in the other corner of the room and I played the snare drum. And when it came out, I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. So hopefully your listeners will enjoy listening to that.
I'm sure they will. It's been an absolute pleasure having you join us in the studio today. Sarah Skinner, Rob Skinner, they are the Red Dirt Skinners. They've just released a fabulous new album. It's entitled Behind the Wheel. And this is Home Sweet Home. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thanks again, you guys.
Thanks, Jan.
Thanks for having us.
If it hadn't been for you, I would never have chosen to pack up my bags and move on. If it hadn't been for you, I'd have locked all the doors. I might never have ventured outside. If it hadn't been for you, I'd be still at the star or a cafe or bar by the sea. If it hadn't been for you, I'd be thinking that this was as far as I'd come. This is me. But you came to my home, and you took what you wanted. You entered my life, you made me stronger. You took my
place I now call home, sweet home. If it hadn't been for you, I'd have begged, I'd have borrowed, you stolen the need to do that. If it hadn't been for you, I'd be wiping those weeping eyes, reaching my last half a mile. If it hadn't been for you, I'd be standing on mama's porch, rattling bones make me smile. My life, you made me stronger.